Hey, this is Cleveland Brown, and you're listening to the About Last Night podcast. I guess your TV must be broken. Haha, just kidding. Actually, I'm not kidding. You're bored.
Today's episode of the About Last Night podcast is brought to you by Koi CBD. Ooh, CBD oil, baby. Feeling relaxed just hearing me talk about it, aren't you? If you don't know what CBD oil is, don't feel like a dum-dum. Adam's here to tell you. CBD is an oil derived from industrial hemp and has no psychoactive effects, man. So you can get the medical benefits, okay, from the hemp plant without getting high. There's no weed. You're not going to get paranoid. It's a great natural alternative to over-the-counter and pharmaceutical drugs. People use CBD oil for pain, depression, anxiety, stress, inflammation. New benefits are being discovered for CBD oil all the time. My mom uses the topical cream from Koi CBD, and it's helped immensely, which is big time because she's been having a tough time with arthritis and finding a solution. And Koi CBD is stepping up to the plate with their topical creams. They've got tincture droplets, vape pens, edibles, pet products for your dogs and cats to chill out. Come on, it's a stressful life being a cat and a dog. You want to chill out? Get some Koi CBD treats. They got topical products and more. All their products are manufactured in the USA with 100% natural CBD oil. It's a family-owned and operated company, and it truly is the best-tasting CBD products on the market. I feel like left and right, people are approaching me after shows, just being in the comedy business, because comedy and CBD kind of go hand in hand. It's great stress reliever for our world. The Koi CBD gummies I fuck with daily because it puts me in a zen state before I start my day. And at night, kind of relaxes me and helps me sleep better, quite honestly. It's America's number one trusted CBD brand. All the Koi CBD products are THC free. And there's a guaranteed purity, safety, and consistency level in all of their products. They're the best tasting CBD products on the market. Again, I've tried so many. The amount of people that have been like, try these pens. We got these flavors and these, you can put strawberry. Root beer foot. Like, shut up, man. No, I'm going with Koi CBD because they got the most shit and the best tasting shit. And quite honestly, it's made me feel the best out of any of the products I've tried. And that's why they're America's number one trusted CBD brand. So if you want to get your stress relief on, your relaxation going, and start living a better, healthier life, get rid of that depression, anxiety, stress, and just start feeling better, then get hooked up with Koi CBD, okay? Head on over right now to KoiCBD.com, that's KoiCBD.com, and enter promo code AboutLastNight for 20% off any retail order from the website. That's Koi, KoiCBD.com, promo code AboutLastNight for 20% off any retail order from the website. Gummies, tinctures, pens, creams, they got it all. I'm telling you, they're the shit. And Brad and I couldn't love them more. Who knows? They might fucking make Brad grow, which would ruin his act, but would help him reach the Cocoa Puffs on the top shelf. And now enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Happy Monday, psych. Happy Thursday. Bonus episode, baby. Today's episode, very special, very exciting. You guys know I do a lot of voiceover, commercials, cartoons. Not as much as this motherfucker. Our guest today is Eric Bauza. Holy shit. I don't know. The voice of Bugs Bunny. The voice of Daffy Duck. The voice of Leonardo in Batman versus the Ninja Turtles, which I think just came out. The voice of Fozzie Bear in the Muppet Babies. He's done all the Beagles on the DuckTales. Ren and Stimpy. Woody Woodpecker. The voices go on and on. There's too many to name. Go to his IMDb page. He's a talented dude and a great guy. And we met a long time ago through Harlan Williams. And just been kind of following each other's careers, and man, was so stoked to get him on the podcast. We ended this one with a prank call to my favorite Thai restaurant with Bugs and Daffy, which that clip is up on my Instagram at Adam Ray Comedy, so check that out. And enjoy the hell out of this episode. It's a good one. Follow Eric on Twitter and Instagram at Bauzilla, Bauzilla. Follow me at Adam Ray Comedy, Brad at Funny Brad, at Alan Podcast. Tonight I'll be at the Laugh Factory at 10 o'clock and the Comedy Store at 11. Saturday I'll be at the Laugh Factory at 10 p.m. The Hollywood Improv on Friday, tomorrow at 10 p.m. So check AdamRayComedy.com for all my local dates. Nice to be in town. Next week, holy shit, Comedy Store Main Room, April 10th. And then Miami. I'm coming to Miami next week, April 11th through the 13th. Miami Improv. First time. It's a new club. So get your tickets for the Miami Improv, April 11th through the 13th next week. Tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. Brad Williams, where's he going to be? Oh, Brad, next week, baby. No, Brad's actually off for a little bit. He's going to Hong Kong, China. So April 18th through the 19th, Brad will be at Skyline Comedy Club in Appleton, Wisconsin. BradWilliamsComedy.com for tickets. Of course, April Foolishness, I'm on that show, the Kevin and Bean Big Show, Microsoft Theater, April 26th. That's a Friday. Get your tickets at KevinandBean.com or KRock.com. That's me, Jamie Lee, Ray Romano, Felipe Esparza, Greg Fitzsimmons, Eddie Ift. Going to be a blast. Microsoft Theater, April 26th, 8 p.m. Come out and see that. April 27th in Austin, Texas, Brad and I are going to be doing a live About Last Night podcast in Austin for the Moon Tower Festival. Get your tickets at MoonTowerFest.com. And all our tour dates, AdamRayComedy.com, BradWilliamsComedy.com, AboutLastNightPodcast.com for past and present episodes. Excuse me, almost threw up in my mouth. And merch. Get your ALN beanies and sweats at AboutLastNightPodcast.com. ShopAdamRay.com for all your Adam Ray merch. I got a ton of new shit up. Beanies, hats, shirts. Go get them. ShopAdamRay.com. And make sure you subscribe on iTunes. Comment on the iTunes page. Give a 5-star rating. And get it wherever you get it. Stitcher, Laughable, the iTunes app, Spotify. Oh, and guess what? My album, Read the Room, is available for pre-order April 11th. That's next week. Holy shit. Read the Room, available for pre-order next week. Get excited. It's going to drop April 26th. I can't wait. I think that's it. Now that we got the tour dates, Twitter handles, and merch info out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with the very funny, the one and only, Eric Bauza.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. No podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's About Last Night.
Ah, commence.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
I get paid 5 cents every time.
Is Fonzie sitting on the Sibian from the Howard Stern show?
No, for sure. You know, it's weird. My son has one, obviously, but
sure.
The base of that is flat, so it can sit up on its own. But when you press the theme song, well, when it goes to the theme song,
yeah.
It literally rotates in like one spot.
Oh, so it can it's almost God. Like I'm alive.
It's for the mothers as much as it is for the kids.
Voices that you're going to hear on this podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, you're hearing
voices plural.
Yeah. Are we going or is this it?
Yeah.
Is this
We're going. We're going,
I mean,
buddy.
Yeah. When Fozzie sings the song, we have to follow that.
Yeah. I mean, you can't have Fozzie Bear do an intro song,
right?
And then not go. Yeah. So
it's insane how, I mean, like how much. First of all, Eric Bauza.
Yes. Hey, what's up, guys?
Good to see you.
Thank you.
First
for
time on the
me,
pod.
Man.
And
yeah, man.
If you don't recognize the name, don't worry. You're gonna recognize a lot of voices.
How many do you do?
Working
right now, right? And then there's like, how many do I do? You probably do.
Definitely. Okay. Well, Muppet Babies is on there. So Fozzie.
Ah, Kermit, where's Nanny? Is it snack time?
I'm the current voice of Master Splinter. And of course, he has to sound like this.
Oh, my
of
God,
course.
Yeah.
Give me all the Asian roles. That's all I say. Ken Jeong, go take a hike. I like Ken. We worked together once.
That was when I was doing my Paul Giamatti voice match. Paul Giamatti, you know, he's got this weird whisper thing. You know, he's got that weird quiver. And you kind of almost have to pretend like you're trying to eat your shoulders when you do that voice. I'm trying to bite your neck.
Paul, do you like Merlot?
I do not like a Merlot. Yeah. It's basically, I knew the question. I get the reference, but it was for Turbo. Turbo was the movie about that snail who wanted to go fast, Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
And then Paul Giamatti played the super secure brother that was like, no, you know, snails are supposed to just gather, you know, vegetables and stuff. So, you know, it was really weird. What a weird, like, thing.
By the way, nobody would look at you and think, do you do a Giamatti?
Yeah.
But that's why this
coming
business
up next
rules.
On just the amazing game show. Do you do a Giamatti?
We
have middle-aged white guy and young Asian man.
Yeah.
Who do you think does the Giamatti?
Yeah.
For me, it's more I do his stunt body doubling. Is this what I do from the neck down? I'm Giamatti from the neck down.
Yeah.
If you just blur out my face,
I do. But wait, before you continue with that, I just do want to mention how insane it is. And you said, like, I mean, you are a toy.
Yes.
And this is fucking bonkers. An iconic toy, an iconic character. My favorite Muppet.
I mean, I think
as from a comedian.
Yeah, because we have to be.
I had a VHS my mom got me called Are You As Funny As Fozzie Bear?
Yeah. Oh, my God,
he taught you stand-up.
And I mean, first of all, the answer is no. Always.
Always.
Always. No, that's Fozzie, for everybody.
Yeah. But you basically, you put, it was interactive.
Yeah.
And
it's on YouTube.
It is.
It's one of the things that I actually... You know, when, as you know, as a voiceover artist yourself, voice of Slimer, by the way. I don't know why Slimer's not up on the wall.
I know. Well, I got my Ghostbuster call sheet, but like,
I can't wait to do the tour, really. Yeah. I mean, I just got in here, delivered some coffees, and now I'm a guest.
Look at the turtle poster behind you.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I mean, like, you know, you're up there, dude.
Yeah,
I know. That's another crazy thing was...
Because you do Splinter, you do Leonardo.
Leonardo, actually, this Sunday is the premiere at WonderCon in Anaheim. They're going to premiere, like, the movie. So it's a one-off, straight to DVD.
And this is the Batman versus Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which, by the way, can we just acknowledge Batman versus Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Finally.
This is a game that you would play only as a kid, only because... Your mom bought you the one Batman and one Ninja Turtle. You're like, where's the bad guy?
Right.
And she's like, can't afford it.
Yeah,
and you're like,
so they became.
You're like, just have the bat fight the turtle. You're like, but Michelangelo's a party dude, mom. You don't get it.
That is so crazy that it took this long for them to make something like that.
Right? Yes.
I mean,
we had the Jetsons meet the Flintstones.
Right.
Yeah. You had those iconic crossovers.
Talking about crossovers is like, they don't really happen that often. I feel like because everyone's so protective of their intellectual property and they don't want to, like, share. I mean, Roger Rabbit was, like, the ultimate cartoon.
I mean, the ultimate crossover.
Oh, my God.
And even that only did it, like, sporadically. And, and then at the end when they burst through the brick wall, and, like, everyone was like, well, there's that movie.
Let's see him
now. Let's see him go and hang out with everybody.
Yeah. Let's have Mickey Mouse and the fucking bad guy from Goofy and Elmer Fudd and Bugs Bunny. Yeah. Let's have them all fucking hang out. Yeah.
It's never going to happen again.
No.
Well, because Disney owns it. Well, it could happen
because
Disney
happen now,
owns everything.
Because Disney now, once they bought, now they own
they
Fox's
bought,
character.
Own
yeah. Oh, I mean, they own.
Disney Junior's Muppet Babies.
So how much studying, are there certain voices that you're like, I don't know if I can do that? Or do you pretty much hear any voice to mimic? Like, had you done a Fozzie Bear type voice before, or were you like, all right, this is a brand new section of my chords to access?
I think so. I think as kids growing up, like, we've probably all thought we could do a certain voice to an extreme or an extent, I should say. And and then as you get older, you grow into your manhood, your masculinity. You find out what you can actually
some are
do.
Still waiting for us to, some... for that to happen, but I'll let you know when it does.
I went through a third puberty this year.
Third
Yeah.
Wow.
So, you know, it's
like a third bar. That's like a third bar mitzvah.
It's a Canadian thing.
Yeah. Oh,
it's just really weird.
That's right. You have third puberty
there. We cycle.
Well, sure. Yeah. You like start off at age two when you have your first whiskey.
It's whatever you guys do, but we do half of it. Half good.
Are Canadians known for being talented vocally?
It's really weird.
Well, they are.
It's weird because I'm from Scarborough. Like, I grew up exactly where, like, Mike Myers and Jim Carrey, John Candy, like, it's like, jeez, right around the corner from my house is Mike Myers Boulevard or whatever, but it's the worst boulevard you can.
Yeah,
you know,
it's our version of Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard.
It's
now every
power
Canada,
lines, power lines in an empty.
Every
field.
Canada has a Mike Myers Boulevard. It's like, oh, don't go to Mike Myers Boulevard.
No, some shit
goes on there.
You want to buy some glass?
Yeah, you can never get a hockey game because traffic is
right.
Yeah. Game on.
Yeah. Wait, so you watch some YouTube videos of Fozzie and
so basically just to get trained and just to kind of get into voices, I think as
as anyone that is in voiceover, you get the email, you open it up, and there are certain things like a voice like Leo, you don't necessarily have to do like the last guy who did Leonardo.
Right.
Who was Seth Green anyways. Seth Green, yeah. Jason Biggs. Right now it's Ben Schwartz.
Really?
Yeah, he's the current like TV Leo.
Yeah, because like Leonardo never had, like, even in the movies when we were kids and even in the cartoons, there was a voice, but it wasn't that like distinct.
Right. Yeah, he's kind of like the everyman of all the turtles, right?
Right.
He's like the leader in blue. And then like the Raph is the pissed off guy or whatever. Michelangelo's the party dude.
Right.
And then Donatello's the
nerd. So Mike sort of has to have that like, all right, like that kind of like party dude,
in this version that I'm Leo, Kyle Mooney's playing
Michelangelo.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't get to work with him, but I heard his voice in the trailer, and you're just like, holy crap. Like, it doesn't really sound like him, but he has kind of like that higher
Mooneyisms.
Like that party guy, like the loose kind of his personality comes through.
So what's your take on Leonardo?
It's basically they're just like, just you.
Yeah.
Just me.
Really?
So just sound like you can handle your shit.
Yeah, right? Is that weird for you to be like, wait, so you don't want me to do a thing?
Right. Yeah. Finally, I think Tom Kenny nailed it best. And he's a guy that is he mixes every kind of like, you know, where he's from, comedically trained. He was like from San Fran. Like he grew up San Fran with like a lot of San Francisco comics, I believe. Mm. And then he went on to Mr. Show. You know, with Bob and Dave and Dave and Bob, I should say.
Yeah. You know what? We're done.
But he's the guy that's like, he is in that arena of like classic voiceover artist, but also is like celebrity.
Yeah.
So it's like he said, celebrities get paid to sound like themselves.
Right.
And we, as voiceover artists, get paid to not sound like who we are.
Right. Right.
We get paid to sound like everyone else.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting point of view.
Right.
So,
because when you want Ellen DeGeneres doing the voice of you want Ellen.
When you want Seth Rogen, you want Seth Rogen. yeah.
Or you to do the sub for it.
Right, exactly.
I thought you were going to say that was your Ellen.
Yeah.
All right, well, you're not getting that job.
Where am I? I'm Dory. I'm lost again.
Yeah.
Wait
I'm
a minute.
Probably stoned.
I think we just came up with, I mean, I guess SNL does a version of this bit, but like auditions for Dory.
Oh, absolutely.
That
aren't
Ellen.
Yeah. I mean, like, geez, Louise. That is where you gather everyone around and like when an SNL audition comes around,
right.
Like, you know, on the show, you just like, oh man,
That's everyone's impression.
Someone's gonna go.
Did you watch SNL as a kid? What were your comedy influences?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, like the Sandler Farley years, definitely. Yeah. Dana Carvey, huge fan. Like Phil Hartman, all those guys that did the impressions, but also made up the characters.
Right.
John Lovitz, you know. And that's like another cool example of a celebrity that it's like you want him to just
sound like him, right? Yeah. You don't want him to sound like anything else.
John Lovitz will sound like me.
You got the arm, you know. It's like,
I have to do
you
it.
You have to do it.
It's there. Like when I do Trump, I have to do the hands.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So I have to do the hands.
Oh my
when
god.
When I do the Trump, it's gotta be the hands.
Yeah. May I say,
best
I see
hands.
He's
best
on your
hands.
On your wall.
Who's that?
Piot is here. Speaking of Trump.
Oh yeah,
because he's another guy that I met at Comic-Con. Literally, it was like, gosh. Years and years and years ago,
just as so many people,
literally just came up from Hawaii, and this is like long time ago at Comic-Con, and we just kind of just crossed the street at the same time, and he's like, "Hey, you're Bowser,
that's
right?
Really
you
good.
Know,
that's
you know,
really
he's the, he's this young guy that sounds like an 80-year-old man.
He does, right?
And
he sounds like Alan Alda.
Yeah, Alan Alda,
who was a radio DJ at some point.
Oh, just Alan Alda.
Yeah.
Coming up, Nags.
Yeah. Wait, so he calls you out and then...
No, on the street. And he's just like, he recognized me from like, you know, just maybe one tiny... Because I was like really not working on a lot of things at
when
that point.
When you say Bowser, of what? Were you in like a video game? Were you in, were you in Mario Kart? Were you the guy that gets... Like when Bowser gets hit by a turtle shell, you're
I wish I could stake claim for that character. But funny, The Americans, like when they see Bowser, they add the ER at the end of it, Bowser, and
they do.
Automatically becomes Bowser.
Yeah. Oh, but then Canadian
Bowser. It's just Bowser.
Filipino. Yeah. Filipino. I don't know. Filipino Canadian.
Sounds like something that would pop up on the screen when 1966 Batman would like punch someone with like
yeah, Bowser.
Bowser. Bowser. Yeah. Bowser.
Filipino Canadians also just made the endangered species list this year. We're very so if you guys kill me, you guys have like $35,000 on your hands.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
You're rare. You're rare. Yeah. We could sell you on the black market.
But Piot, man, like he's another one of those guys that just, you know, he's like I remember him like getting into voiceover, but then experimenting with stand up. He also told me that he had auditioned for SNL like very, mm-hmm. very young in his career.
Yeah.
And he does a great Trump, you know. It's, you know, you do the same Trump as me. It's the whisper Trump.
Yeah,
you know?
Whisper Trump.
It's coffee breath Trump. Not it's like the kind of Trump you don't want angry, close to your face.
Not the angry Trump. No. Not no collisions. Yes. Yeah. Not pep rally Trump.
I end up doing Dana's Trump, which is just real nasally. You know, Dana Carvey's like,
oh, yeah. It's very much just Melania. Yeah. I love saying her name, Melania.
It's the New Yorker thing.
Yeah.
It's very bizarre.
Yeah.
That's whisper good. Trump. Soft Donald, we call him.
Yeah.
Which is funny because that's what Melania calls me too. Soft Donald.
She also calls me McDonald sometimes.
This is going to go over great when I'm applying for my green card. That fucker was making fun of me.
Bugs Bunny, he's out of here.
Rejected.
Yeah.
We're going to build a wall around Canada made out of my favorite food, Putin. It's French fries and gravy. It's delicious. I love Putin.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
But, like, when do you even find out that you can do voices?
Again, just studying as a kid, I feel like most mm-hmm. of my education came from TV. A lot of the people that I grew up watching, like Rob Paulsen, Jess Harnell, these are people that were also musicians, stand-up comics.
Rob Paulsen, the voice of Raphael, Yakko, and then every other voice of your childhood.
Also, formerly over at he was doing his podcast as well, probably around the same time you guys were doing it.
Talking Tunes. Yeah,
but yeah, I never went to school for like dramatic arts, like a lot of you know normal actors would, and that's kind of like probably the biggest. Thing that could have helped in early on in my career, but of course, you know, you find your way.
Sure.
But it's a lot of people get confused with voiceover because they think, "Oh, I could do like that voice," but can you sustain that character? Can you make it a believable thing for like 4 hours in a session? It's hard
because like I can do Hank Hill, but only for two words.
Oh, really? Which is
damn it, Bobby.
Damn it, Bobby.
Like that's that's all I can do. But if you say, "Hey, have a conversation as Hank," no. I cannot, but damn it, Bob. And that's it.
Damn it, Bob. You got it, though.
That's it, but that's all I can do.
Yeah.
I think it's that thing where a lot of people, and I know this because I've watched Adam in terms of I've seen him cut a commercial for Hyundai where he's sitting there and like. I can see like there, like you want to put an extra emotion on the voice, or this is an excited thing. This is something where you want them to buy right now, or this is like a holiday theme.
And even if there's like,
and you adjust,
Even if there's like, you're like, oh, like just saying like, do this one more excited doesn't mean the whole thing is up. Like there's like you're trying to find ranges.
It's so
and
specific,
the smallest affectation or intonation.
It's probably why I do not book commercials. I'm awful at them. Like there is a certain
that.
No. There's like it, the only one that I have ever done really is like if it's spoofing like the actual like announcer.
Right. Mm.
There was a John Stamos Spectrum commercial where he's walking throughout the house.
Yes. Right.
That was me. I was the voice of that guy.
No.
You know,
way.
I was the guy that followed him around. The crazy part about that job though was, you know, as voiceover people, you're like, sweet. I booked the gig. I get to go to this booth in my PJs and knock it out in 2 hours. And
or
I'll
no PJs.
Or no PJs
sometimes
at all.
I go commando. I just
I hear some loose change in there, but you're not wearing pants.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah.
But the director of that, Strange. His last name was Strange.
Dr.
Strange. Yeah. We'll just call him Dr. Strange. Adam Strange, a friend of mine who actually was in writing pilots for animation, goes to commercials. I didn't hear from him for years, and then suddenly he's like, hey, I finally found a spot where I think you could fit, you know, but you got to show up to the filming. And I was like, okay, but why? And they're like, because we want you to read with the actor that's in this spot.
Yeah.
So it's like a little bit more authentic.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. And they're like, so you're gonna spend like 10 hours with John Stamos today. And I was like, what? Like, he didn't tell me until we got
in
to set.
Tight, 13-year-old girl and you
in
got
a little tight, closed space. You're like, I'm listening.
Yeah. Go on. I'm like rubbing yogurt on in my hair. Yeah. Oikos yogurt, Greek yogurt. Yeah. But yeah, no, so I meet him and he's like, hey, Bowser, what's your favorite cartoon? What's your favorite Disney cartoon? He just wanted to talk about Disney cartoons like all day. He was a huge Disney
fan. Did
he
know you do voices or did you have to like ease into that?
Kind of, yeah, because I'm like, well, this guy like worked with Dave Coulier, who was the voice of Peter Venkman in The Real Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah.
He was the voice match for Richard Pryor in like a lot of like...
Really?
Yes. Look up Dave Coulier Richard Pryor impression. You will be shocked.
What?
It's like this really weird impression that he does of Richard Pryor like this. And I'm only doing it like this because I'm copying Dave Coulier. But he used to do like anytime Richard Pryor would swear like in a movie and they'd play it like on TBS, he would be the guy that would like sub in. And it's kind of insane like how accurate he is. But
and that's a crazy world that people don't even know exists where they go like, yeah, when Bruce Willis says Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker, and it's on TBS, he doesn't say
there's a guy
Yippee-ki-yay, Brother Tucker, or
Mother Brother Falcon. Mother Falcon's my favorite.
Yeah. Yippee-ki-yay, my friend. Like you have to call a guy. Hey, that sounds like Bruce Willis that can do that.
And that guy gets paid every time that airs, like every Christmas. Right. It's kind of crazy like how lucrative voiceover can be.
Wait, you did Scrooge McDuck?
I did Gizmo Duck. I did Gizmo Duck in a video game. It was the Nintendo DuckTales digital like reboot or whatever. They got these animators to just draw over like that classic Nintendo animation. Love but that. It was... hand-drawn. It looked like a real moving episode. And I did Gizmo Duck, which was like this like country singer, Hamilton Camp, who passed away. He was one of the only guys at that time that when they brought all the old voice actors back, he was the only guy that passed away. And they're like, they opened up auditions. And and then I got Lin-Manuel Miranda'd when it came to series. You don't ever take ownership over something you didn't create. Right. I mean, I'm like the 17th guy to do whatever.
Right. Yeah.
But I remember when they did DuckTales, the TV series, I ended up doing all the Beagle Boys, which was great.
Yeah.
It was kind of crazy.
You are Mr. Beagle on that show.
Yeah, I'm all the Beagle. Like, there's been 21 of them or
now,
something like that.
How do you find, is that just the same voice or do you have to find subtle differences between all the Beagles?
It's almost like there's, you know, in the 80s, DuckTales, it was a mixed bag. They had like a bunch of voice actors do different voices, but for whatever reason, it was always Ma Beagle. Ma Beagle was like the original, you know, and I forget like the original voice actress who voiced her, but she sounded like country bumpkin backwoods Ma Beagle, right?
Right.
So they thought for this version, they're like, well, why don't we make at least the original guys kind of like her? Like, so they kind of went kind of southern country. So For Big Time Beagle, it was kind of like this. And then for Bouncer, who was much bigger like that.
And
Burger was, he couldn't get back.
Bouncer Beagle?
Yeah. Bouncer, yeah.
Bouncer Beagle is Ron White.
Oh, really?
Do your Bouncer?
Oh, yeah. Hey, my name's Bouncer.
Ron White, you're right.
That's Ron White. So if Ron White ever needs a voice, then you got that.
Ron White stole his character from Bouncer Beagle.
Just say...
All those DuckTales.
Just say, as Bouncer Beagle, say, they call me Tater Salad.
They call me Tater Salad. They call me Tater Salad.
Oh, my God.
That's my new warm-up is Ron White for Bouncer Beagle.
There you go. You know, just watch old Ron White stand-up, and you're good to go.
Do you get to record with other DuckTales actors? Or
Not often. I feel like that one is, again, they really did jam-pack it with like some heavy hitters.
Yeah.
Danny Pudi, Bobby Moynihan, Ben Schwartz again. I told Ben, I like, you're playing Sonic the Hedgehog, Huey, Dewey, or Louie, whoever the blue one is, and then Leo. Yeah. I'm like, the next thing you need to do is play a Smurf and you're gold. You have all the blue characters. And,
no kidding.
I was up for Launchpad and my buddy Beck got it.
Yes.
But he's like, it's one of those things when you want a job, like literally... Muppet Babies and DuckTales were my shows growing up, and I was like, oh man, if I get on DuckTales, I'm going to lose my fucking mind.
Yeah.
And then they're like, your buddy Beck beat you out for it. And I was like, You know what? Can't be mad about that.
Right.
He also, his natural voice is like pretty launch paddy.
He's got like that classic, you know.
Dude, bro.
Yeah. It's a very clear, crisp sounding voice. Oh, and he's super freaking funny.
Yeah, he's great. Well, with that announcer voice for the Stamos commercial, how similar, because that's insane. Like to transform your voice like that is bonkers, but you did announcer for Scooby-Doo. Was that like...
Oh, okay. So for that one, it was like, again, it was more on the cartoony side. I feel like there is an art to what you do with the Hyundai commercials, right? That it's like 30 seconds or a minute, and that's all you have.
Right.
And that, to me, I start sweating when I see like those...
Longer paragraphs.
I need an encyclopedia to look up that shit.
I still don't know what APR means, so don't.
Right, APR financing, don't ask.
I say it all the time, I have no idea.
You know, I'm glad you said that, because when you did the voice for, what is it, Ameritrade? No.
Fidelity.
Fidelity.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you were saying like all the Fidelity investments, I'm like, I want to sit at him down and be like, do you know?
Do you know? You really know what this means?
Nope.
Nope. Yeah. But did the check clear?
Yeah. And hey, you sounded great doing it.
Yeah.
And that's all that matters. Yeah.
For State Farm, it was, they asked for like Don Messick, who was like the original voice of like Papa Smurf.
Yeah.
There was like Mel Blanc, Dawes Butler, Don Messick. And he was Papa Smurf. He was the voice match I do for him is
so it's like a grizzled old man.
Yeah. He was also Boo Boo Bear though. So like Yogi, like I'm surprised that, you know, Yogi, don't steal that picnic basket.
Well, come on, Boo Boo.
Yeah, dude.
I mean, wait, did they remake Yogi?
They did for a movie, and it was Timberlake and Aykroyd.
Oh, that's right.
I'm Dan Aykroyd. I'm going to be Yogi Bear today.
Yeah, right. But I still sound like Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah.
Remember, I was the dad in Crossroads with Britney Spears.
Yeah, that happens.
Was he?
Yeah, he was. Yeah. I always like saying that as his main.
His most obvious credit.
I mean, if you look
at Dan Aykroyd, I mean, what else he going to say?
I have this on Laserdisc. Maybe we can watch it later.
Like, wait, that's...
But Don Messick was... He was basically the whitest voice I can do. Yes. State Farm. Let State Farm do the mystery solving for you. Something like that.
Yeah.
And that's like Don Messick's kind of just regular narrator voice. And for whatever reason, it's in the pocket of my range.
But that's you. And that's a Scooby-Doo announcer voice, yeah?
That's something that like a lot of like Colette Sunderman, she's the lady that handles most of Scooby-Doo like voice sessions.
Yeah.
And we were doing a pilot for something else, and she was like, that's so crazy. That sounds just like Don Messick. And I was like, oh, crazy. And I didn't hear anything from her for like, you know, a couple months.
How
and she's
goes.
Like, there's a pilot for Johnny Quest, and they want to try to, you know, bring that back. But that's a hard franchise to bring back, Johnny Quest.
It was very dated.
Yes.
It was awesome.
Yes.
I loved it.
Oh, yes.
It was one of my favorite cartoons growing up.
I think if you were...
Maybe the greatest theme song. Like,
yeah.
Like, it had, I think Quincy Jones did the intro.
No way.
So it's very bebop. It's very like, it's like a whole orchestra and it builds.
Yeah.
Like it's ridiculous for a children's cartoon. And then,
I think if they made fun of it, like they do C-Lab or whatever on Adult Swim, it could survive.
Right.
But I feel like as a regular show, I think they tried doing it in the 90s, but didn't do too much.
Now, when you're trying, do you have a preference in terms of doing a voice that like we know and love? Like I'm also looking at your IMDb page and finding out that you're the new voice of Stimpy in a Ren and Stimpy short.
That was like ages ago. That was probably like one of the first things that I did. Here's the thing. IMDb, and I'm sure we have stories about this of being miscredited on things.
Oh, yeah.
I actually just fixed something.
I played Blanche on Golden Girls.
Yeah,
and I still am not going to dispute that.
So, so I did. I brought these Golden Girls DVDs for nothing.
I'll sign them, please.
Yeah. One of the things that I just had fixed was a credit that I was supposed to be in Space Jam 2 as Bugs and Daffy, and it's a weird thing for me to like try to rectify, but. You know, reports were coming out, and it was a credit on IMDb that some super fan had put up. Probably my mother, who knows, like changed it. And anyone,
Mama Bowser,
it's like Wikipedia. Ma,
wait, how? Yeah, I mean, that is. Wait, so do you know Sarah Sherman?
Real yes,
well. I just ran into her, and we were singing your praises.
Oh no! Oh my God! Yeah. Sarah's great,
but she's. Is that how you got involved with Looney Tunes, right?
Yeah, she actually was at Disney for a very long time.
Yeah,
and then, you know, some of these directors, they like to move around, and she found a home right at Warner Brothers. So that was like one of the first things that she was sidled with was like, okay, find new voices for these characters.
Yeah. So when you're doing like a bugs, mm-hmm. Daffy, Woody Woodpecker. Yeah. Are you trying to mirror the old voice?
Oh, for sure.
They wanted that, right?
Yeah, I feel like this one in particular, it's not often that they will audition these characters. I feel like, well, I know for a fact this is only the second time in 8 years that I've read for Bugs. Wow. So the first time they tried to do it with the Looney Tunes show, I ended up doing Marvin on that show.
Isn't that lovely? Oh, Earth creature. My, this bowl of Jolly Ranchers blocks my view of Earth. Yeah. I will disintegrate it.
Yeah, so like I feel like of all the Mel Blanc voices, I think that's like an entry. That's like anyone can kind of, if you could do that weird Kermity clogged voice.
Yeah, it's more of a, yeah.
Yeah, but there's this weird thing that sounds like he has something stuck in his back pocket that's bothering him.
Yeah, you know?
It's itches. Yeah. Oh, this tingling sensation. Yeah, is that a wallet or a dildo? Yeah. A dildo wallet.
Yeah,
Well, it's battery required.
So there was Marvin, and then the guy that came back to kind of clean house was Jeff Bergman, and he was one of the first guys, if not the first guy, to follow Mel Blanc after he passed away in 1989.
Yeah, right.
So Jeff, in his prime, I think I asked him, he was 28 years old, did all of those voices. Like, not just Bugs, Daffy, you know, Tweety, Sylvester, Yosemite. He even did Elmer, which wasn't a Mel Blanc voice. Right. It was another guy, Arthur Q. Bryant. But
I love how you know the history of these voices.
I'm a friggin' nerd. I am a nerd for this stuff.
But it probably makes you better. No, having that knowledge, having the respect, having you know, knowing where the voices come from. So when you go in to read for Bugs, are you just like, are you watching the old cartoons?
Oh, yeah.
Are you trying to match?
I watch it at least an hour a day now, even if I'm not recording it. So my son's probably wants to, kill me or kick me out of the house.
Just to get it in your, just in the back of your head and just to be able to access it and like,
But like,
you be in the car driving and just like.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I was the voice match for Antonio Banderas for Puss in Boots. Oh. So there was this YouTube video of him and you could tell it was just shot strictly for promotional purposes. Yeah. But it was him in the booth like.
Right. I was voice acting as this cunt, you know. I am Antonio. I can do sit-ups in my sleep and count my money.
So basically that was like, I would have to watch that. The thing about Antonio, like any Filipino parent, it's an accent that you're trying to sound not Filipino at all, as white as possible. So you have to come home and visit your grandmother in the cemetery. Instead of the cemetery, right?
Yeah.
So that was like the magic of Antonio, was that he would not always do the same thing twice. He would always maybe inflect something different. And that's kind of like how I would try to gauge whether or not I was doing the voice right, was if I could make the writers laugh that were writing these lines, who maybe didn't think that that's how it should be read.
Right.
As opposed to like voice matching. But for Bugs, you kind of,
you want to get as close as possible to the original Doc. You know, that Brooklyn meets the Bronx kind of voice, the nasal. And it almost sounds like I'm eating a carrot. Ain't I a stinker?
But
holy crap. Now, here's the thing. If you get pulled over by a cop.
Oh, it gets me through customs, like... You know, I'm Canadian.
How do you get through the border? So I'm the customs agent.
Oh yeah, no.
And you pull up and you go, visiting the United States.
Oh yeah, here's my passport. I got a visa.
What is the reason for your visit?
Business.
And what kind of business do you do?
I do voices for animation.
You do voices.
Yes.
All right. You do voices.
I do.
Do you really think that's going to fly? This is the United States of America. You think I'm just going to let anyone say, oh, I do voices?
Yes, sir. I do.
So what voices do you do?
Well, I'm the current voice of Bugs Bunny, Doc. Ain't I a stinker?
And usually that's it. I could bring in like a kilo of whatever it is.
Wait, let's hear Bugs.
Tell me that you have some drugs.
That looks like a pound of coke there, son.
Is that 1 pound of Colombian Bam Bam?
Bam Bam. You mean like a Bam Bam Rubble?
Hey, Fred. No, that's not mine.
Oh, come on in, buddy.
Bam Bam, you're trying to sneak in some powder over the border.
Oh, God. Next time, bring heroin. Me and the boys love heroin.
No, I use that for bacon, Doc. I'm all about the cookies, you know? The ones that keep you up at night?
Yeah. No, I swear to God, it's like one of those things where when you are at the border, the guy that is literally has his gun, funny. Like hand on his gun, ready to use it,
they turn into a kid instantly. Oh, and I'm there. I'm doing like a 5-minute set. Like, yes. There's a guy behind me flashing his cell phone, giving me the light, you know?
That's
like,
so funny.
He's but like, you're clear.
It's so true because the aforementioned Rob Paulsen, when I met him, yeah. I didn't know who he was. Mm-hmm. I just see him coming out of a booth where he did his podcast, and he literally just walks by me, and he's talking to his co-host, and I stop him and I go, do I know you?
Yeah.
Like, I've met you.
Yeah.
Like, what? How do I? And he just goes, how old are you? And at the time, I go, 28. He yeah. goes, okay. And then he busts.
He goes right into
he,
it. Yeah.
He goes into Yakko.
That's so good.
And just, I'm melting.
Blows your mind. Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm melting in front of a grown man just like
and
in
again,
joy.
For him, it's so effortless to slide yeah. in and out of those voices because they're so part of him, you know?
Yeah, and that's probably why you practice so often, so you yeah. can just jump right into it, because for some people, they need like a word or a
yeah.
phrase.
Yeah.
That helps him get into it.
Carlos Elizraki. You must yeah. know Carlos.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. He, being a stand-up, yep. yeah, yeah. Both stand-up yeah. comics. Yeah, 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 he yeah. is another go-to guy for voiceover, but I've heard him in sessions where he is like, he does that like one word thing to get into, you know.
Yeah.
We worked together on a show called El Tigre, mm-hmm. where it was like the...
That's Spanish for the tiger, everybody.
That's correct. Yeah, okay. If you're listening.
Just letting everyone know. Yeah. Non-bilingual listeners.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah.
I feel like I'm very good Chris Farley right now.
Yeah.
El Tigre is Spanish for the Tigre.
Yeah. El Nino.
Yeah. Perfect.
Oh, man. But he was there, and another one of those heavy hitters that kind of just welcomed me in. That was like really my first... gig. And we'll go back to that Snippy thing. I remember you yeah. had mentioned that.
Yeah.
It was for the reboot of Ren and Stimpy on a network called Spike TV.
Whoa,
if you remember,
rest in peace.
Yeah, the original it was the Nashville Network,
yeah, TNN.
TNN, the new TNN.
Right.
It was like Viacom's ugly stepchild. They didn't know what to
I
do with it.
I just remember because I'm a wrestling fan. And
WWF.
Raw was on that channel all the time. So it just rotated from TNN.
I'll tell you.
The Nashville Network, the new TNN, to Spike.
Spike.
And now coolest... it's the Paramount Network.
Oh, it is. So they just rerun like classic movies, right?
Yeah. Oh, and then they still do Bar Rescue.
The coolest thing about working on that reboot was because I knew Raw was on the same channel. Yeah. I actually called, like, as a production person, even before I was doing voices on that show.
Yeah.
I called like promotions in Viacom, and I was like, "Hi, we're working on a show. It's going to premiere on the same network as WWE or F Raw's War.
Mm-hmm.
How can we get tickets to go see?" That because it was at the time it was in Ottawa, and I remember that there was going to be a taping of Raw in Montreal.
Yeah. Oh, and that's
literally an hour drive away,
and
right?
And wrestling in Montreal is a thing to see.
Bret the Hitman Hart.
Absolutely. 1997 screw job. Not that I'm a nerd.
So
I don't know what
story
you guys are talking about. Yeah.
Can you dim the lights, please?
We're not,
turn around.
Wax poetic.
Hulk Hogan sex tape. Hulk Hogan sex tape.
The ratings just spiked.
Exactly.
But anyways, I got. Like, we got ringside seats, we got backstage access. Oh, I got yelled at by Ric Flair. He was like, "We're 30 minutes from taping live. Who the hell are you guys?" Like, he got mad at us we look like the Scooby Gang just walking around.
Yeah.
You know, Rob Van Dam was there doing squats. Stacy Keebler was there.
Yeah, before she dated George Clooney.
Wait, what? Oh, that's right.
Yeah, she was with George Clooney.
They dated very briefly.
Yeah.
But it was the coolest thing. I remember, like just weaseling my way into like some place that I shouldn't have been because of cartoon.
So then when Ric Flair gets mad at you, then do you do the Bugs voice or something?
Yeah, well, you're approved. Yeah. Give me that kilo of cocaine.
No, yeah.
I'm gonna have to inspect this for you.
Exactly.
Woo!
How many times have you ever like prank called people with voices or like
did you
do that as a kid? Like that's that's when I started to
jerky boys for sure.
For sure, right? Big influence. And like I used to prank call Seattle sports radio stations all the time. I'd call back 3-4 different times in an hour and do a bunch of different voices. And then, you know, when I really started to find comedy as a thing for me, it was prank calling a kid that had that was like, I guess, you know, the new hot girl at school in the fourth grade had a crush on him and not me, obviously. And so I would call him because I could do her voice.
Yeah.
And
so
I would get other buddies around and we would call, and they were my audience. So diabolical. But like, I'm sure
this is where your need to be on stage.
Yeah.
Adam was one of the was like the first guy to introduce me when I tried to do you know, like my very short lived career in stand up. Because, you know, we know Harlan Williams, pound the potato.
Oh, buddy, yeah.
I love Harlan
He's
Williams.
He's the greatest.
Who doesn't?
I mean, watching him do two sets back to back, same material, different audiences, different sets.
Yeah.
It's insane. And that's the genius behind what you guys do. I
Have
feel like.
Have you ever put toothpaste in between your toes as to make your feet smell a little fresher? You will.
Yeah.
You will.
You ever go home and put lettuce in your hair and run around like a salad monster?
You will.
You will.
You will.
You will. Every time I see that guy. And he's the creator of, like, maybe the most watched show on Disney Junior, Puppy Dog Pals.
Dude, he's a show monster right now. I mean, he's just like that. Well,
he went to, like, Sheridan, I think, for animation. That's like the, at the time, you know, probably at around the time that he graduated was the exact time when Disney was like the mothership, like sucking up Canadians from like Oakville, Ontario, which is where like all the animators come from.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you and because Adam told me that you were also an animator.
Yeah, I could draw some shit for you guys before I leave.
For real?
Yeah, of course.
So that was
put it in your bathroom. Yeah,
that's well, don't tell me how to live my life, but so
we don't have a bathroom. Yeah. How do you even know?
Wait, so where do you get the I don't know, the audacity to go like, I'm gonna do, and like,
screw you guys, I'm going home.
Well, like, what did your folks want you to do, or were they supportive and go, yo, you want to be an animator, an artist, like, do whatever you want?
I, you know, it was very strange. I feel like most Filipinos are either nurses. You know, it's either
your stand-up joke.
Yeah.
Come hey on, guys, man. No, that'll kill.
I can't. I'll just go watch you guys and order chicken fingers
as Daffy Duck.
I'll have one order of chicken fingers, please, and how about some plum sauce? If my Daffy is Richard Dreyfuss with a lift, it is. It really is, if you listen to it.
Oh, my God.
I'm not going to be a hot meal for some shark, okay? Listen, rabbit. It's rabbit season.
Oh, my God.
That's my Daffy. But you guys live so close to the Laugh Factory.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I'm walking down there and after the podcast.
I was going to say, I'm, this is like insane for you guys.
Yeah.
You guys are living the life, man.
You're living the life.
I'm okay. But you guys, you know, I'm a dad.
You're a toy, man.
You're a human wind-up toy. You're like, if I could design a CNC, it would be you. Just all and those characters saying
no things. One would buy it. Just
not
a
true.
Lot of
I would.
A lot of priests that are like young Asian boy doll.
Wait, so what do you when do you draw? Like, is it cathartic for you? Is it like, now are you trying to develop stuff, or is it more?
If I develop stuff, I'd probably pretty much hang up my career as a voiceover artist, because that takes a lot of time.
It does, right?
I mean, you know, so many people are having their own shows now. On Netflix seems to be the place to go and pitch, because they have like endless amounts of space and capital for pilots. But I just feel like it just takes so much brain power. I think writing is probably something that I wish I focused more on. Mm-hmm. I think performing is definitely a way to write. Improvisation, of course, but it just stays in voiceover for me. That's
well, and if it ain't broke, you know, like, you're obviously doing well in it. You're making money. You're all. You seem. I mean, I'm going through your IMDb credits to try to find more voices to get you to do, because I'm a fucking puppet master.
No,
but yeah,
there's too many, dude. I mean,
at the same time, like, I'm like 20 credits in, and I'm not even past 2018.
Right.
So like the man's working.
I am.
You're doing well.
I'll tell you a funny trick for Woody Woodpecker was, you had mentioned that.
Yeah.
I do it for Universal Studios, and we did a straight-to-DVD movie, and then we did like a YouTube, a very, very short YouTube series. But for that audition, I went back, and I found almost all the performances of Woody, and that was like Billy West, this guy, Ben Buzz Hardaway, I think was his name. He also worked on Looney Tunes. Mm-hmm. I think his nickname was Bugs Hardaway, and he was one of the reasons why they named Bugs.
Wow.
But if you take Woody Woodpecker's performance and you vocal performance, and you take it into like Final Cut Pro, pitch it down to hear exactly what the actor sounded like before they sped it up, that was how I found a comfortable voice for me as Woody, knowing that they would speed up that audition later.
Oh.
So if you listen to Woody, he kind of just sounds like this anyways. Like, hey, get out of my tree. And then when, like, they speed it up, it just sounds like
like Woody.
Yeah, like, yeah, all that.
Yeah, like.
Oh my god!
But that was the trick that I did.
So while everyone else is trying to recreate the sped up voice,
yeah.
You're like, oh no, I know what you're going
to
do.
I gave them the options when I emailed the audition to the director. I was like, hey, here's what it is sped up, but here's also what it's supposed to sound like sped down. So when we're recording the voice for the film,
yeah,
we'll be able to do like whatever we want. If we want Woody to do like an Arnold Schwarzenegger impression, all I have to do is start
at that point and, you know, what are you doing in my tree? You know? And then when you speed that up, it just sounds like Woody doing an Arnold impression.
Wow, yeah. That's so intelligent of you.
It's very, again.
Frickin' Asians are always nerd. One step ahead.
I'm the reverse Asian. You know, I'm bad at math and good at parking. That's what I, you know, I'm great at.
You don't
parking.
Have stand-up.
I told my two jokes and I'm done.
Do they ask you to improvise ever? For,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like almost anything. If you feel helpful. Like, yeah, if they're open to it. There are definitely some writers that, you know, they don't want their work to be messed with. And it's animation, so it's also calculated. Maybe they wrote it this long because they can only afford to make it that long. Mm-hmm. On a show like Black Dynamite with Carl Jones, who, like, Deborah Wilson was on it. Wow. I mean, everyone was on it. And they were so, like, I felt bad for the engineer who had to work on that show because it's, like, hours of material. And what do you pick, you know? Like,
shit, yeah.
It's just endless open material. But
that's how you get the best product, I think. If you have people like that, don't waste their skill sets. You know?
Yeah.
What about with Fozzie? Do you get to ad lib much? Or
Fozzie, it's definitely a preschool show, so I can't go blue with Fozzie. Yeah. You know, like, but I mean, it's all there.
Because I remember even in the Kermit audition, they had me improvise telling Fozzie about going on an adventure or trying to put him at ease for something, right? Mm-hmm. And so just, I think, to hear
how you would fare in a situation like
for
that.
For sure.
Or how you live in that character.
And to probably get a gauge of like how much I know about how Kermit would talk to other characters, right?
Because you got, I'm telling you now, and on record on your show, because you did get so close to all these like legacy characters, I have no doubt in my mind that you will be playing like these characters one day.
I just want to be a toy. I love you.
I'm telling you, man, because it's like, how many versions of this will they have before we all kick the bucket? Probably like 50 versions.
Hopefully.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so the fact that you're already
now with all these content providers.
Oh, my God. It's like they want so much stuff. They
and nostalgia and reboots. I mean, like, that's got to be so great to think about. Like, I want them to bring back Gummy Bears and I'm fucking, I mean, like, Chip and Dale, Rescue Rangers.
I feel like you're pretty close. If you're not a voice actor or comedian, you're probably a network executive because I feel like their mentality, they're seeing how well like these throwback properties are doing.
Sure.
It's like, what's stopping them from doing
everything?
You know, they are bringing back Animaniacs.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I mean, Spielberg is involved with that.
That's incredible. Oh, that show was unbelievable.
Because the whole thing about it was that, it's sort of the SpongeBob effect where you have the show for kids, but there's so many jokes in there for adults. So when the parents are watching, they're like, oh, fuck. Like, I know right now if I went back and watched the old Animaniacs episodes, I would find so many jokes.
Oh, and probably things that you didn't even think of were anything as a child. And now it's like, there's probably things that they couldn't get away with. Now.
Yeah. Well, I was having this argument with my wife today where, not really an argument, just discussion, but like, just to where some people freak out about like, you said that in front of a child. You're like, they don't know what that is.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
A kid doesn't know what a rim job is.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm hoping.
Well, no.
Okay. At the car wash, it's a different thing.
Yeah. I'm hoping. You're like, oh, no, that's a dunk that LeBron does. It's called a rim job.
Yeah.
That's actually a great
dad. Pass the ball, LeBron.
That's like the opening line in Space Jam.
Wait, yeah. Give me a rim job.
Yeah.
Time for the rim job.
I meant an alley-oop.
Yeah. And we're just playing horse.
Yeah.
Off the rim.
Yeah.
Nothing but net.
Wait, so... The rumor about Space Jam 2, but is that like...
Oh, so I cleared it up. I had to like tell like the casting people, like I had my agent talk to them just to see where they were at in casting anyways. And they were like, yeah, we did notice that he was, you know, being mentioned in these articles, but I feel like they're still so far from, you know, they said they're going to start filming this summer. They're probably, you know, LeBron's still on the court. They're probably not even
for
thinking.
A couple more days.
Lakers.
Sorry, bud. Is he on the court?
Don't worry.
You
noticed them wearing Toronto Raptors. Here's the thing. I wear this in this city. It's a Toronto Raptors warm up hoodie, like the same ones they have on the court.
Yep.
I get shit on.
Yep.
I wear the Lakers one. I get shit on even more. They're like, they just makes people depressed.
Yeah.
They'll turn it around. They're not getting Kawhi.
Oh, they're not.
No. Well. Yeah. I mean, look, what do I know? But I think if he's going anywhere, he's going to the Clippers. Because that team is ready to go to the next level, and I think he wants to be the guy on a team.
But, man, you guys really rolled out the red carpet for him. And I mean, there you've probably seen the Vinsanity documentary.
Yeah.
Which is such a great documentary. All about how Vince Carr didn't want to go to Toronto, goes to Toronto, and all of a sudden goes like, this is the greatest fucking city ever.
It is such a city made of diehard fans. Because I feel like, you know, Canadians, they're a little humble guys. Toronto's, they're a little loud. Get a few beers in them, and they're kind of like,
well, I mean, you go to...
they get proud,
I've been to hockey games in Canada where I go, oh.
Different.
That's
yeah.
how you get rid of the nice Canadian stereotype real fast. But then the beautiful part about Canadians is that they'll be fighting in the rink and then walk outside and go, hey, I'm sorry about that, eh? You know, I said some things that I didn't really. You want to go get some back bacon on a bun?
Yeah, that's Mike Myers' joke, is the Canadian standoff.
Oh, yeah.
Two Canadians trying to walk through the same door. It's like, oh, after you. No one goes.
I texted Harlan that you're here, and he goes, he and I used to break into Canadian Tire after hours and sleep in sleeping bags in the fishing tackle aisle. Classic gold.
Tell him I said hot corned beef. That's his.
Well, then I said ha ha ha, and he said too soon beef, and I said beefaroni bags, and then he goes carbon monoxide tenders, and I said finally those are so good, and then he goes Power Blast Rebel Wilson's Thunder Buns.
What? Yes. What is?
We have these conversations weekly, and it's like
you can just do that with Harlan, and he's never not Harlan Williams.
No.
He's always Harlan Williams.
True blue, man. That guy is just who he is. Every time I see him anywhere, it's just like the conversation you had like 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Picks up right where it
now, leaves. Do you have kids? Do you have nieces and nephews?
I got one 3-year-old who's at home with the nanny right now. Okay, so I can be here with you guys.
So, I love you. So thank you, first of all. And do you do voices for the 3-year-old?
Yeah, again, because I'm practicing a lot with Looney Tunes, he is, you know, we have the stuffed toys, and he's like, be Bugs Bunny, be Daffy Duck. He knows.
I mean, you're dad of the year every day.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Till he's old enough to drive, and then see you later.
Yeah.
I don't know, dude, but then you're going to meet, like, the girls he brings over, like, as Daffy, you know, be safe tonight. Yeah.
Does he say, call the principal as Daffy and, like, get me out of class?
Oh, my God.
So, he's been acting up again, eh? Yeah. I'm going to have to take my belt off and show him who's boss. Yeah.
Old fashioned.
I will give you all the money, to go as your first parent-teacher conference. Don't even start with your voice.
No.
Go straight into Daffy. Yeah.
And so I was looking at this report card. Says he socializes too much. Gee, I wonder where he gets that from.
Dad has Tourette's.
Oh my God! Wait, is he? What does his? Do you do it for his friends or like it's
mainly just for him? I feel like, you know, he's preschool. I did, however, I was invited by the preschool to read. It was reading week for the kids, and I did like I read two books back to back, and did, you know, I didn't do it like any.
I didn't do Jeff Bridges, man. I didn't hit the little dog that went up the hill, man. You know.
Oh, you mean the kids weren't big Giamatti? No. Could you read Dr. Seuss's Giamatti? Yeah,
right.
What do you mean you don't like green eggs and ham?
Yeah.
I love them. They're fucking delicious. Is what they are. Yeah. Howard Stern, the fucking Antichrist. Yeah. Look at this guy. This guy's a pig, and he makes me want to vomit.
Oh, my God.
This guy, we'll call him Pig Vomit, Robin.
See, now he's just doing Howard into a microphone.
You know, I can't believe you guys got Jolly Ranchers here. You know, these guys really know how to class it up, Robin.
Are there certain people that the people have, like, hit you up? Like, the same way, like, with us with stand-up, like, you get young comics trying to pick your brain and whatnot. Yeah. Like, do you, have you, like, taught classes, or have
definitely
you been asked to come speak at schools? Or
here's the thing, and again, just like stand-up comedy, there are people that are, you know, they're successful at it and they want to share that knowledge, and then there are some people that just they come here and they see young upstarts and want to take advantage, and you know, I get it, it's a business and everyone has bills to pay, and sure. I'm not knocking anyone that, you know, goes out. If anytime I get invited by someone that orchestrates, like, okay, I got an engineer lined up, and it's a class from 7 to 10, as we all know, like the acting classes after dinner, weekends, or like during the week.
Yep.
I will just say, pay the engineer, pay the studio, don't pay me. Save your money. You just moved here from the Midwest or wherever you're from. I just want to be that person because I never really had that when I moved here from Canada. It was really hard to find someone to ask advice from. So, you know, I usually just anyone that is working or just starting, I'll have a class about 10 people, enough with enough time and enough people that can get up to the mic and, you know, work out an audition or something. And not really charge that, charge at all, really. Yeah. Just pay the engineer. That's it.
And that's so great that you do that. And it's so great that you're that comfortable with your skill set. Because I know there's so many people out there where it's like comics or actors or whomever that think that everyone's coming for their job.
Yeah, it's like everyone has something to bring to the table.
Yeah.
And everyone deserves to have at least the chance. And it's like... I know there are voices that I can't do. That I just the other day, like they hired me to do like the scream for Tom from Tom and Jerry, which was if you watch that cartoon, geez, it's that weird one that goes one.
I gotta look it up.
Yeah, I was in the booth and I was like, I can't get it, but I go, I know who can. There's this guy Michael Donovan. He was like a voice actor from Vancouver that moved here and directs like all the Lego Star Wars stuff. And I'm like, he's got the pipes for it. I go call him. And, you know, that's it. Wow. It's like, you know, like...
Yeah, there's enough to go around, right?
Yeah.
But it is super competitive, man. And I mean, and I know this just from being on the outside in and now getting in a little bit, but it's like how small the animation world... I mean, I remember when I used to go to Disney all the time and read for stuff and just see all the people on the wall and being like, all right, famous people or people that just are... All right, well, that's...
Yeah.
All right, this is home videos of Brad when he lost his virginity, but...
Sitting on a mousetrap.
There's a Tom Scream compilation on YouTube.
Dude, YouTube truly has everything.
This is, oddly enough, also available on Pornhub. Yeah. It's really weird what people...
Same category.
Look at.
I was going to tell them what the video was of when Tom is screaming.
Yeah. But, sitting on a mousetrap.
Yeah. Now, here's my question. Can you do a Wilhelm scream?
Oh, man. That's so like...
That's so inside baseball.
That is... Who did that?
I don't know, but for those of you who don't know, the Wilhelm scream is the go-to scream that's been in every fucking movie ever.
Isn't it like in every Star Wars movie too?
Oh yeah. I know that they do one when they're in the Death Star in Star Wars 1 and Luke is the bridge goes out, he shoots up and one of the stormtroopers falls off.
And that's a Wilhelm.
I know that one. And the only reason why I know it is because I went to the Universal Studios, took the tour, and they have that. But yeah, there's all these like sound effects. Can you do a goofy fall?
That's another hard one. Bill Farmer, it's the yoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah.
Damn, dude.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Dude, what was I asking before that? There was about the competitiveness to it.
Yeah.
When did you feel like that you kind of broke through and got in this circle? Because now everybody knows you, and it's like you. So to be on that short list when things come up of like, oh, I wonder if Bowser can do it, right? Like,
yeah,
you're in that boat now.
It's really weird. I definitely felt like you definitely feel the intimidation. And I, again, being stand-up comics, you must feel that at the very beginning when you're the first time at like the Laugh Factory or the Comedy Store or the Improv. It's like, those are like the big three.
Oh yeah.
Like, it's like auditioning for three networks, you know? And it's like, you kind of just get over that and you get over the excitement of you are working with the people you grew up watching.
Yep.
And you have to have that, maintain that professionalism about yourself because, you know, you're there now. And I feel like if they're calling you in, if you made it past the callback and you book your first gig, that means that you're trusted now. And I feel like that hopefully snowballs into the next gig and the next gig. Mm-hmm. And
how long did that take?
Definitely between 2007 and like about a good, like it was 1999 is when I first started interning as like in animation. Mm-hmm. Then between 2005, 2007 is when I made the jump to part-time VO and animation. Mm-hmm. And then 2007 all the way up until like maybe 11. So 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, like 4 or 5 years.
Oh, so you started booking pretty quick.
I'd say like I was booking like one thing every couple of weeks, and I was happy with that.
Wow.
Now it's like I pray for days off. Yeah, you know, I hate saying
awesome.
That, but
that's awesome. Dude.
It's the best problem to have.
Yeah,
you know, it's like but at the same time, then every time you do it, check.
But for me, it's like now I'm looking at opportunities for other people. I'm like, I'm looking for that thing for to help, because there I'm getting calls from other people and they're so friendly and they are ready. They're ready for like the next thing, and it's like,
well, a lot of people that want, they're like, yo man, can you help introduce me to these
that are working and that are getting like those gigs, and I'm like, just come with me to this party and I want you to meet like the producers and the owners of this studio that continually make fucking like pilots for Adult Swim.
Yeah.
And it's like, just I want you to be on their short list because there are certain things that I can't do and I can't be available.
That's so selfless of you, man.
And it's like, so amazing that once you get into that world, whether you become a Tara Strong or a John DiMaggio or
DiMaggio,
any of these guys and women that just work on every fucking show.
Yeah. No, it's like crazy. Without audition too. It's like there are certain things that now I get called for that it's like I don't even, they're like, I just, you know, we trust that he can do this.
Do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's gotta be crazy now that you're at that level. Yeah.
Are you pretty social? Like, do you try to go to a lot of
I mean, I try to make it out to, like, especially if there's like a rap party for something.
Yeah.
You want to say thanks to the creator and the people that actually do the hard work.
You like, want to do a bump of cocaine with them, right?
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah. But no one loves blow more than Mickey Mouse.
Hey, I'm in the bathroom.
This is Mickey after he does blow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, the Wilhelm scream.
It actually has an adverse effect on his voice. So he's like,
I'll be in the bathroom.
And he comes down and he's like, hey, guys. You guys, stall number three. It's really crazy in there. I remember, I think I auditioned when I first graduated college in 2006 for New Mickey?
I think that was like a call that was a big open. Call. You know who ended up getting it?
Who?
Chris Diamantopoulos. He played Mo,
right? Jewish guy. With the last name like,
I love how you think Montopoulos is a Jewish name.
You know, it's a very Jewish
Greek
name.
Jewish,
very Jewish.
Is it?
I'm doing a joke, Adam.
Oh,
it's obviously the most.
But as a duo, I was like, oh ever. God. Well,
he was the guy.
You're a good actor.
He played Mo in the Farrelly Brothers Three Stooges movie.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Alongside,
no kidding,
Will Sasso.
Will Sasso.
Yeah. And
Sean Hayes.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he had been on like an episode or two of Community, and he did like a Robin Williams like biopic, like where he played Robin.
No way.
It's like insane.
He's
how
range.
Yeah, like,
well, and it's amazing because you meet a guy like Charles Fleischer that did the voice of Roger Rabbit.
Yeah,
he'll sit you down and talk to you about astrophysics.
Yeah, no, it's like, Jesus, what are you doing? Save the world.
Yeah, and then do a killer stand-up spot and then do a voice and then go back to astrophysics. You're like, do you have to be good at everything?
Yeah Save some for the rest of
us. Oh shit. Oh,
asshole.
My god. Now we talked about doing prank calls. Is that something you'd be willing to do right now?
Right now, sure. Yeah. I mean, like,
anytime we have a brilliant impressionist on, or great voice actor, we call this Thai restaurant. Pia did it as Jeff Bridges. Ari Spears did it as DMX. Dana Carvey did it as Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
So be honored if you would.
I mean, what's...
I'm thinking Bugs.
Yeah, Bugs.
But I mean, sure. Like, if you want to, you know, if somebody else is in the background and wants to add.
What's
an
crazy is that Bugs is really just one accent away from being an actual Thai person.
So funny. Oh my God.
And you go from New York to the Bronx and then just do Thai, and it's just the same voice.
They might actually think that. It's okay, let's try some.
Yeah.
Okay,
here.
Okay.
Let's try something.
Oh, sweet. Yeah. So
hold it up. You want to hold up to the microphone? Yeah. So you can just talk, yeah. Oh, boy.
Hello?
Yes, hi.
Hi. This is Saharat.
Huh?
Saharat? Hello? Saharat, I'm going to be late for work today.
Hold on.
Hi, Swedish. What's
up, Doc? Hello, Tom, over here.
And what's up, Doc?
I'm sorry?
What's up, Doc? I was wondering if I could order for delivery.
You want to make order delivery?
Oh, yeah, that's right. You guys got any carrots?
Yeah.
Carrot pad thai. That's what I'm craving. Carrot pad thai. No meat. I'm a vegetarian. Really trying to cut back on the red meat intake. I'm sorry.
We don't have vegetarian here.
No, you don't.
No, we don't.
Hold on. My friend. Okay, hold on. My friend's gonna order. Hold on. Hello?
Hi.
Do you have duck?
Yeah, we have duck.
Shame on you! You know, I'm a duck and I find that very offensive.
I think they hung up.
Oh my
God. As soon as I duck shamed them, it was over. Yeah.
How dare you? I represent duck? The duck.
Yeah.
You have duck?
Oh my God.
I'm going to serve a Thai person at my restaurant.
That's to get revenge. Oh, brilliant.
Dude. I said Saharat. I actually did work with a Thai guy named Saharat.
For real.
He would always come to the fucking studio and make us fresh pad Thai.
That's amazing.
It was unbelievable.
Oh my God. Yeah. I love the references. I love that you come
in. Oh my God.
Do you have duck?
I mean, there's got to be times when you go to a party, like, and you've been so gracious to, like, let us pimp you out.
Of course, man.
It's unbelievable, but, like.
You guys want me to record anything for your show in the future, whatever you guys need?
I mean.
Anything for your stand-up?
If you want me to call in as Morgan Freeman, I will call in.
I mean, we have Mike Henry do a thing at the top of our podcast as Cleveland, where it's. But I mean, I would love Henry.
You're listening to the About Last Night podcast.
You know, yeah, dude. If you want to do a Bugs,
whatever
one,
you guys want,
that'd be unbelievable. Done and done.
But do people like try to, you know, go, hey, like Eric, like if this is my friend, blah blah.
Yeah.
And you're just always
whatever,
like,
whatever, man.
Whatever, right?
Yeah, it's like, this is kind of like what you're born to do.
And it's the greatest party trick ever where, and it's not like a stand-up where you have to do a bit. Like, you can literally read a menu as Daffy.
Right.
And that's it.
But you're also quick and funny, and that's a big bonus.
You can read the crawler on CNN, the most depressing news ever.
My favorite thing to do back in the day was to read, and if you guys have cable, is to read the porn descriptions, like Mrs. God. Doubtfire. I would do it as Robin Williams' Doubtfire.
Yeah, I know, I know a couple softcore porn titles because, you know, I'm married.
Yeah.
So I would go on DirecTV. I would shuffle past HBO, Showtime. I would read these, Brazzers Network. I would go right to the descriptions, and that's what I do for fun at parties. We would read... young hot holes waiting to be filled.
You know, like...
All right.
Pad Thai pussy.
Read that.
Oh, my God.
Wait, right, read it as...
This is...
I'll do Mrs. Doubtfire, and then we could do one as someone else.
This is the greatest softcore porn film of all time. It's called The Ghost in the Teeny Bikini.
Right, so this is what I would do for 2006, right? Ghost in a Teeny Bikini. A B-movie actress and her director boyfriend go to the spooky mansion of her rich uncle for the reading of his will, while her uncle's scheming lawyer and sexy, playful ghost vie to control the inheritance. But I was looking for something a little bit more steamy, like hot, wet holes waiting to be crammed with black 8-inch cock.
You know, like, I mean, like, it was the awful. Like, DirecTV, like, literally, you go from, like, okay, you know, Fletch Lives, the reruns of Goonies, and then it goes to this, like, Playboy After Dark.
Young spring breakers want to be rammed hard.
And it's like whoever's writing this is like, oh, who gives a fuck? Like, no one's going to read this.
No one's going to read the description. So
hot holes waiting to be filled.
That was like my favorite as Mrs. Doubtfire. But yeah, man.
Oh, you're unbelievable.
You're a legend, man.
Anytime you guys need anything.
Dude. And you got to come back, man.
I just feel like we need you and Piot on the same podcast.
Dude, I haven't seen him in a while. He was doing Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Yeah.
Like,
who'd you do on the.
Again, any Asian character they have. Oh, okay. They're like, it was George Takei. They wanted a Asian prime minister. And that's what I gave. Yeah.
So you did the laugh.
I did a session with George.
Well, I was doing scratch dialogue for James Hong, you know, from Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh,
and also the guy from Wayne's World 2, Cassandra's father.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm doing temporary dialogue for James. Oh, we'll close on this if you want. And the entire time, George Takei is standing there because he's doing his voice and all that stuff. And then at the break of the Scooby-Doo episode, he turns to me and goes, you do, Mr. Bowser, you do a better Jimmy Hung than Jimmy Hung. And I'm like, wow, you know, thank you, sir. You know, and then we get up and we leave. And then He's like, this is at Salami Studios, of all the names, Salami Studios.
Hot wet toes. Yeah. Hard Salami Studios.
Yeah.
Extra spicy salami.
And I'm at, you know, he's getting M&M's, you know, snacks, and I'm just like getting a refill on coffee. And he's like, also, Mr. Bowser, may I say, you are eye and oral candy, is what he says to me. And I was like, you know, like, and I was like, it's like the a blessing from the Pope himself.
Oh, yeah. I and oral candy. Now, yeah. In that spell moment, yeah. In that moment, yeah. Are you like, do I have to fuck Sulu now? Yeah.
What is oral candy? Was he hitting on me?
Yeah, I'll be in the men's room with the door wide open.
Yeah, ooh. Looking for my hot holes to be filled.
Young spring breakers.
I swear to God, you're going to do it when I'm gone. You're going to go right to those dirty channels. It is a good pastime of mine.
Holy shit.
Eric.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, you're unbelievable.
This is amazing.
Dude.
You're come back anytime.
Yeah.
You're the best. And how would Mrs. Doubtfire describe her experience today on the About Last Night podcast?
Well, I love just talking over 12 feet of wood. You guys have quite the dining room table. I'm sure you just strap people to this and eat them out. As I'm sure your neighbors are complaining about all the yelling that's happening coming from this apartment. I'm sure there's DNA all over the couch. I can't wait to listen to this back.
I don't know what I'm talking about. This is how I lose all my jobs.
No,
I start
no
talking
way.
dirty Doubtfire.
No, you just gained.
Well, dude, that's a whole show.
Yeah.
You're the best. You're on Twitter and Instagram at Eric Bowser?
You can find me at Bowzilla, Bauzilla, on Twitter and Instagram. I also just started this t-shirt, Retro Kid, which is a t-shirt company. I can only imagine if we had a meeting about all the things that you guys like Bloodsport would be something.
Oh, yeah.
We're trying to get a contract with Bloodsport going to do t-shirts.
I mean, I'm still training for the Kumite.
Yeah. Frank Dukes, like, put up your dukes.
Yeah, let's do it, man.
Dude, I have to ask you to do your Tony Danza before you go. Is there a way we can get a Danza?
Well, is there a way that, I always wanted to be on Looney Tunes, right? And for the longest time, like, I felt like Mona was a Looney Tune.
Mona. You know? R.I.P. Mona.
R.I.P. Mona. What was her name again? Catherine... It was Helmand, yeah. I always forget. I always known her as Sweet Tits. But
many times? I mean, this is like.
Oh, this is how we do. He does the Tony Danza.
Yes.
And I go back and forth with some Michael Caine.
Michael Caine.
Yeah, my best friend. And look, there was a time when I used to take a lot of DayQuil, and I used to have hallucinations about me, Michael Caine, and Bugs Bunny in a hot air balloon.
That's right.
Yeah.
But it also sounds like you're saying my cocaine.
Yeah.
So he would take some of my cocaine, which is actually my name.
Yeah.
Cocaine.
Yeah, cocaine from Kane.
Yeah.
Kane's cocaine, which is a product I'm still trying to sell at Rite Aid. But
yes.
We're going to start pitching it to the Lifetime channel.
You're right.
Where we do cocaine. Okay.
I'm in.
Unbelievable.
But yeah, Retro Kid. It's Retro Kid _ TO, and we're trying to do like a lot of nostalgic, you know, like wear, like shirts, hoodies.
Done and done.
So is it out? People can go to.
You could go to the website now. We're actually working on this like Canadian kid show that is primed for a reboot. It was called The Hilarious House of Frightenstein. It was like literally shot on VHS in like 1971.
Yeah.
Vincent Price was in it. Yes. They got Vincent Price to be in
Vincent
it. But...
Vincent Price.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yes. Yeah. An impression I can do that no one knows is accurate.
There it is. We got to call the Thai guys back. Yeah.
Give me some pad Thai filled with your blood.
Yeah. That's probably on the menu. Yeah. But yeah, that's pretty much it, man.
You're the man, dude. Come back anytime. I guess I'd say check out your shows, but they're all, you know.
It's everywhere.
Yeah. Muppet Babies airs where? Yeah. When?
Pretty much like every Friday when they have it on the Disney Junior channel. And Ninja Turtles, of course, is on Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
Look out for Batman TMNT this coming June, I think.
Holy shit.
Guys will be getting copies for sure.
You can watch it, or you can just drink all the NyQuil, and then you will see Batman versus Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. But no, I'm still going to watch it. Damn.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. Thanks, buddy.
The podcast brought to you by NyQuil.
Will you
close this out with Fozzie having a NyQuil dream, waking up in the middle of the night?
Kermit! Why am I on the ceiling? Waka waka!
Yeah.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in. We had laughs and stories. Now
it's me, Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessime Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
Man, what's up, Doc? This is your pal Bugs Bunny. Say, I got a question for you. Do you know who has the head of Elmer Fudd and the body of Foghorn Leghorn? Why, that's Adam Ray and Brad Williams. Ain't I a stinker?